It's Hayden Wisniewski's world. We're all just living in it. Find out why he has earned a spot in this rotation next.
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy, and this is Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please support the show and be a part of our Locked On Cubs community by following and subscribing on all audio platforms. And you can watch, subscribe, and leave a comment on YouTube. Thanks so much for making us your first listen. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. Pleased to be with you for a Monday episode, whenever and wherever you may be listening, as opening day is now 17 days away. A lot of spring training action from the weekend, dominated on the pitching front, where Hayden Wisniewski, Sam, pitched well once again, this time four perfect innings, 12 up, 12 down Saturday, with four strikeouts to boot. And I think I am ready to declare him in the rotation.
Yeah. Good afternoon or morning, Matthew. I'm a little confused with the time. Takes me about 20.
Spring
takes,
ahead.
Takes me about 24 hours. it's so funny because it just feels, because it literally was about a couple weeks ago, we broke down the Wisniewski-Samson situation. The first thing we did is we called out David Ross for saying that there's a few other people in consideration. No offense to Javier Assad. It was a two-man race. It is a two-man race. And we kind of broke it down like this. We'd like Wisniewski to win it, but it's very unlikely. Adrian Sampson would have to be a special type of bad, not just, oh, he's got knocked around for a couple innings, but there'd have to be something to stick out. And Hayden Wisniewski would have to be close to perfect for it to happen. And that's exactly what's happened. And in Samson's defense, he's throwing later today, but he's only had two outings. But in those two small outings, he's given up six home runs. And in 8 2/3 innings of baseball, Hayden Wisniewski's given up nothing and really like not that close to anything. And you have players on the team, important players like Marcus Stroman, making tweets about how he's in the rotation. And I think we've entered the part of the discussion now to where if Hayden Wisniewski isn't the fifth starter, Jed and Ross will start the year on a very negative note with the fan base, because it's clear as day. And look, there's always certain things that we don't know behind the scenes. What if Wisniewski has an innings limit this year? So they say, hey, he's the guy, but we don't want him pitching in April or May. He's going to do some heavy lifting in June through August and September. That's a possibility. But again, that just doesn't make sense to me, because this team needs to get off to a good start. Worry about the inning stuff later. This is a young man, so I would almost refer to him more like a kid, but a young man that came in here and has earned a position. And if you don't give him that's setting a bad example for your organization. That's setting a wrong message to the fans. And we've supported Adrian Sampson on the show probably more than other shows. But when something's this clear as day, and oh, by the way, in his press conference yesterday, he said, yeah, I got to be better.
That's wild.
He's just like, yeah, I mean, the results are good, but guys don't really see me that much. I'm not really taking too much into the results. There's some things I could do a lot better. This guy wants to be a star. Okay. He wants to be a star. He has the ability to be a huge part of this rotation. And I think we've gotten to the point where it would be egregiously bad if he's not.
There's a couple areas that I'm thinking of as we record today, and that's true about Sampson and our position on the show. I think we've been highly supportive of him. He was our pitcher of the year, for crying out loud, for 2022. But I don't need to see any more of Sampson.
Yeah.
You know, based on how he's pitching and not performing well, I know it's only been two starts.
Six homers, you can't ignore that.
Hayden Wisniewski gives the Cubs the best chance to win. And if this is a year that's about winning, then it's Wisniewski's job. It really is. And even if there is an innings management, you know, a load management, whatever you want to call it, I think you could actually still do that, because in April and May, there's a some pretty consistent built-in days off. So
right,
you can curb his innings if he's truly the number five starter, which he doesn't look like a five. Yeah. He looks even higher in the pecking order than that. But if he is the number five and he's scheduled to go every fifth day, you could skip him or manipulate his innings if that's a focus of yours entering the season. But for Hoyer or Ross or Hadavi or whomever to roll out there in a couple weeks from this time as all the trucks are getting packed to leave Sloan and head to Wrigley, if Wisniewski is not the number five starter, I really would be curious to know what happened. And their believability would be definitely on the low side.
Yep.
And he has just been a pleasure to watch. He dominated yesterday.
Oh. And to your point about maneuvering his starts, you also could have him make like a start a week before the All-Star break and then have him be the fifth guy after the break. That's like 2.5 weeks built in right
Great
there.
Idea.
You know
Great
what I mean?
Idea.
So there's ways to maneuver it to where that excuse just doesn't hold up. And I have a couple of friends who are Sox fans who before spring training texted me and was like, are you serious? Cause they, you know, they watch our show sometimes. And one of them was like, are you seriously saying that Wisniewski's not going to be the in the opening day like rotation? And I was like, listen, I think it should happen. It sounds like Samson, they're going to let him come up. He's like, you don't trade for a guy that you like that's shown signs and not give him a chance, especially somebody more polished. And I was like, yeah, look, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen. And now he's been mentioned. He's like, this was should have always happened. Like, this shouldn't be a debate. And I'm like, listen, we agree with that. However, going into spring training, you could if Ross was on a lie detector machine, he would be telling you it's Samson's job to lose, but he's lost it.
Yeah, and it's definitely trending that way at the very least. And the number four starter in this rotation, Drew Smyly, bounced back on Friday. Mm-hmm. Four scoreless innings, four hits, no walks, two strikeouts. That was nice to see. And
yeah,
you know, I would even maybe just because I'm really all in on these first 28 games.
Yeah, they're huge.
It's been really important to me.
You'd like to see Wisniewski come in before Smyly is what you're going to say.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him pitch that first ball game against the Reds.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me make one quick point too. And I mentioned this about a week ago. I want to emphasize it again. There is a difference between a Jameson Taillon struggling or a Drew Smyly struggling, guys that 100% know they're going to be in the rotation, versus an Adrian Sampson struggling. This is a man that knew coming into the spring training, he was in a job for a race for that fifth starter job.
Right.
He knew that. I could promise you he might've been told it's his job to lose, but he wasn't told he's guaranteed a spot. He wasn't told that. And so for him to be struggling is different than a guy like Smyly that just signed a contract, or Taillon that just, like, those guys know they're pitching. Taillon can give up eight runs without getting an out his next start. He's going to be in the rotation. Samson knew he was going to be in some sort of a battle, and through three innings, he's given up six homers. But to me, it's less about Samson's two bad outings, because those only are, I think, three or four innings, and more about Wisniewski just being by far the best Cubs pitcher this spring.
100%. It really is. And to that level of concern or watchability, just things keeping an eye on, I wanted to go through several players here, Sam.
Yes.
And kind of do that numbers check. And this is based off just a couple text exchanges we had on Saturday. And I do want to start with Dansby Swanson, who David Ross was quoted as this weekend saying he can get no hits in spring training. We know he's the the starting shortstop.
Yes.
And to that end, you know, he's close. He's gotten one hit.
Right. It was a blooper.
He's one for 14 with five walks.
Yeah.
And is there a concern meter with him, or let's, I'd like to take your temperature on him.
Yeah. My temperature is probably like
only 14 at bats.
Yeah. I would probably say like 98.4, would be my temperature. Just really
That's
solid.
A regular one. Yeah.
Yeah. Just really solid. 14 is such a small amount. Like there will really be multiple is. One. There'll be multiple one for 14 stretches for Dansby Swanson. He just signed a huge deal. He's not really worried about that. I'm not, the five walks is a great sign. I'm not concerned yet. Like I said to one of our listeners on YouTube, if it's May 1st and he's hitting .140, we'll revisit it.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned yet. In fact, if you want to do a spin zone, somebody that's a veteran and a really good player, I almost prefer to just struggle out in spring, because the law of averages says then that means they're going to get hot pretty soon.
Yeah, you kind of get it out of the way, get it out of your system. We're going to keep walks as a theme here. Nico Hoerner has zero of those in 23 ABs.
Yeah, and he's hitting, 220 with and the OBP is the same. And it's just am I concerned? No, not at all. Right. Just going back to my leadoff point, it's just like even if we just flip those two guys, it would make more sense. One guy gets on base, more than the other guy. I'm not concerned about Nico Hoerner offensively at all. I just wish I just like him in a different spot. I hate him hitting with nobody on base. It bothers me, but no concern, but Nico Hoerner, if he is going to lead off, is going to have to figure out a way to get his OBP in at least the 330 range. And
right.
And I'm not positive that's, in his repertoire. So we'll see.
Three other players just want to take note of here. Somebody that may appear in the roster to open the year, but maybe the lineup. Nick Madrigal hitting .304 now with one walk and 23 ABs. David Bodie still doing well. He's now 9 for 19. That's a .474 average. He's walked a handful of times. And Patrick Wisdom, 4 for 11. He hasn't played as much. He was held out a couple games there. 4 for 11, a home run, and three walks for him.
Yeah, all encouraging things. All guys kind of competing for the same position. Probably take the most from Wisdom because he's kind of the lead dog there.
Right.
Madrigal stuff. This is who Madrigal needs to be if he's going to be valuable, because there's no extra base hits and there's no walks in his game. So 304 sounds great, but the rest of the metrics are probably not great. But he's been hitting well. He's hitting well. And we've talked about Bodie. So that's good.
Yeah. We're going to get into, another roster projection at some point this week, fire up the graphic machine there.
Were you surprised?
Because I think we're pretty close at a 26.
Were you surprised at all, real quick, how early they sent PCA and Davis and Alcantara to minor league camp? Somebody asked me that and I didn't really know the answer. I wasn't that surprised, but I thought it would be, I thought since the WBC and stuff, to give them like another week of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have seen that. I think that it's not unusual that they'd be sent out at this stage.
Yeah.
With about 2 weeks more of games. It's really just procedural, because I think you're going to still see a lot of these dudes in come in later in games.
Right.
They're just going to walk over from the backfields and they'll play. So I think it's just procedural at this point, and you'll still see a good amount of them, I think, down the stretch here.
Right.
Who you're not going to see for at least the first several weeks of the year, first few weeks, is Seiya Suzuki. And he's now 2 weeks into his recovery, and we're going to get an update on him coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. There's simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience. So you can prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's exactly why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmlb. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmlb to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. So excited to be with you on a Monday. And we do have an update out of Sloan from the weekend. Seiya Suzuki, 2 weeks into his recovery from his oblique injury. He is officially going to start the year on the IL. But according to the Chicago Tribune's Megan Montemurro, a hopeful future guest on this program, Suzuki is pain-free. He will not get an MRI until his full range of motion is back. And if that scan is clear, then he will resume baseball activities. Sam, this confirms a minimum six-week timeline. And with some innings that he'll get in extended spring, that puts him back with the Cubs in late April. If he needs a rehab assignment, maybe he gets stashed at AA or AAA for a few games. That puts him back in early May. So some clarification on the timeline, although you have been like a psychic with this process.
Yeah, May 1st was what I said, probably maybe a day or two after the injury. Before we knew what it was, I said May 1st.
Right.
And that's probably where it's trending. I don't really understand that report. If he's pain-free, why doesn't he have a full range of motion? That feels contradictory to me. Yeah. But you're not in the medical field, and nor am I, so we're not going to explore that. He's going to miss the entire full month of April, and you know, it messes up his whole season, because now if he struggles early, people say, "Oh, well, he had an extended spring," and you can just see it now, right? Forget the Cubs. Let's just talk about Suzuki in a vacuum. I've seen this so many times, right? Comes back in May, rocky May, up and down June, July, and then he'll have a strong August and a strong September, and everyone will be like, "Yeah, he finished the year strong." It was like, but he didn't get a full season, so he got off to a rocky start. It's like, again, that would be whatever, but we still don't know, you know, because we're not getting a full season out of this guy. We still don't know, is he worth $20 million a year? Is he a perennial all-star candidate? I just don't know if we're going to definitively get that answer this year. I hope that we do. And I hope, he's missing the first month of the year. He's going to play 5 months with some built-in days off, and he'll get a ton of at bats, and we'll have a much better idea. It just ruins the whole excitement to his season for me. It's really the only thing now that's gone wrong in the spring. Everything else is been really good. Steals, rebounded,
tracking,
looks fine. And the pitchers, we've talked about all of it, but that one just stings a large amount for me. So we'll have to see what happens. May 1st is the target date. So mark that in your calendar.
Real baseball returned over the weekend in the form of the World Baseball Classic. Really excited to discuss that coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, and an exciting announcement right here as we are going to be in March Madness formation with basketball, but also your snacks to get through the day. And that's going to be right in the form of the Built March Madness bracket. We know that you have a favorite bar or puff, and now it's time to make it count and go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. So if you haven't tried a Built Bar yet, now's the time. You got to get off the sidelines, okay? Get off the bench. Maybe you're the 10th, 11th person off the bench. You need to go to Sam's Club. You need to go to Walmart. You need to go to built.com and get yourself a Built Bar. For example, I know that I'll be voting for the cookies and cream bar, okay? That's my favorite. And that's who I'm going to be supporting. You could go to builtmarchmadness.com and place your vote as well. When you do that, you are entered into a drawing where 50 Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but then one person will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. 100% real chocolate, 130 calories, a whopping 17 grams of protein. Again, run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there as well. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick for Built Bar today. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. I think I understood this, but now I really do after these first couple days, Sam. The World Baseball Classic is an all-day companion.
It's fun.
It's got a total March Madness vibe to it. There's baseball all day.
It's fun, Matthew. It's fun.
It's wild.
Anytime you get like the international, like other countries involved and stuff, World Cup, Euros, whatever it is, it's just fun. It's just fun. You got different time zones. I watched it a good amount yesterday. As we speak right now, Mr. Matt Mervis is 1-for-1 with a walk and 2 at-bats for the Israelis. They're playing Nicaragua right now. It's a 0-0 ball game. Was impressed with the United States. Kyle Schwarber with a big hit in that game. Venezuela, Dominican Republic was a really good baseball game, and Venezuela kind of pulled a mini upset there. Granted, it's baseball. It's baseball, and I laugh when people say, oh, what an upset. It's like, it's baseball. That's one baseball game. But yeah, that was really fun watching those guys. I didn't realize how good Venezuela was and how many studs that they had on their roster.
Yeah.
I mean, their top three is Altuve, Acuna, and Luis Arraez. I mean, that's a really tough three to deal with. Martin Perez threw well for them. He was a potential Cubs target earlier this year. Yeah, it's fun. Japan's played well.
Dominant. 4-0.
I think the United. I mean, I'm pulling obviously for the United States, and then
I think they have the best position group out of anybody.
Yeah, I think they have the best team. I do.
Okay.
But again, it's baseball, and I would love to see Ohtani do some stuff. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun tournament to watch. Stroman threw well for Puerto Rico.
Right. Yes, he did really well.
He threw 4 2/3, one earned, gave up one solo shot. Was a ground ball machine against Nicaragua. Baez actually made a great play. I tweeted out. Baez and Lindor are better defensively than Horner and Swanson. I want to make that pretty clear, or at least more talented and rangy. I don't know if they're better, but they get to more balls. But you saw that's what the Cubs are building around him, because he just gets a ton of ground balls. And if you hit it anywhere up the middle, those two guys get them. Like, that's the type of thing the Cubs are building, because Baez made a ridiculous play yesterday to help him out. And They're good. Puerto Rico's good.
Yes. There's a lot of talent in this tournament. USA's lineup is just it's crazy good. Jeff McNeil, a batting champion, hit 9th on Saturday.
Yeah.
They went Betts, Trout, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Schwarber, Turner, Tucker, Real Muto, and McNeil.
Unbelievable.
And Kyle Schwarber has now recorded a home run in the NL and AL wildcard games, NL and ALDS, NL and ALCS World Series, and the WBC. I'm excited to see where this goes. And Team Italy, could they be the Loyola of this World Baseball Classic and make a run?
Shohei Ohtani's they're 2-2. Shohei Ohtani's betting 500 in this campaign.
Oh, jeez. He hit
his first homer, and he's knocked in 8 already.
8 runs in 4 games.
And he's thrown, and so far hasn't allowed a run.
Can I say this?
Because me, I love superstars and matchups.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see the Japan – versus the United States, Ohtani on the mound.
Be great.
I mean, that you want to talk about something great for baseball?
That would be it.
That would be it. In the championship or the semis, whatever it is. But, yeah, it's fun. I mean, look, outside of our basketball programs that hopefully we'll be having our names called in a few hours.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Horse from laughing went to a comedy show last night. Pretty funny. I mean, you got the World Baseball Classic going on. You got March Madness. You got spring training. The Cubs tip off here in about an hour and a half. I'll be watching that baseball game today.
No, it's a good time of year.
No, I'm really excited, actually, to watch the Cubs and Boogs on ESPN calling games with Dickie V.
All right. Well, we have a lot of exciting stuff for you this week, including another roster projection, all the WBC coverage that you can get. And so please stay with us for all five episodes this week. You could do that by hitting follow on Apple and Spotify, hitting subscribe on YouTube. And if you're over there, make sure you also smash the like button. And you could drop us a text or a voicemail this week at 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Locked On Fantasy Baseball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is over. For Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.